Good morning, everyone. God bless you all for this morning. Welcome to those who are online. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. And as we have our heads bowed, let's come seeking the Lord once again for the things that He would have us learn or understand this morning. If you're here for the first time, you're welcome. And I pray that the Lord will speak to you. Those of you who are online, I pray that God will speak to you as well regarding your daily portion for today, what God would have for you. So Father in heaven, we commit this morning into your hand. We know that you are our life, our breath. You know everything about us. You know what's in our heart. You know what's in our head. You know our challenges. You know our trials. You know absolutely every part of us and our being, Lord God. So you therefore know how to speak to us. You know how to draw us. You know how to encourage us and lift us. And you also know how to rebuke us and challenge us to make us more and more into the image of your Son. And so we look to you, Lord God, trusting in your Spirit that you would speak and open our eyes and our ears to your word, and you would make us more and more like Christ. For in Him there is true peace and rest, and to become like Him is everything. And we thank you, Father, for this morning. Cast the enemy away from us as we listen to your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you've been with us the last 4 or 5 weeks now, we've kind of been going through the words of Jesus Christ and the call to follow Him in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. If you want to draw your attention once again to this passage, verse 24 and 25, where Jesus tells His disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Last week we looked at what it means to take up the cross. And these are the words of Jesus Christ. These aren't the words of a man or a prophet, or you know, an ordinary figure. This is the Son of God who's telling you how you are to pursue Him. If anyone will come after me, if anyone who desires to come to me and walk after me, they've got to do a few things. And this is what Jesus was saying, and we've looked at this in the last 4 weeks or so, that they were to deny themselves, that they were to take up their cross, and obviously, finally, climatically, follow me. Because you can do all these things, you know, I mean, it's going to be hard work, you know, and never really actually get to follow Him. Now, you can lock yourself up in a monastery, for example, you know, deny yourself from all the worldly pleasures and do all these things, but never really get to follow Jesus, you know. And it's always like that, it seems to me, in the Christian conversations and discussions when we try to pinpoint what it is to be a follower of Jesus. That one tends to be the most challenging one, where we kind of describe or trying to depict, what does that mean to follow Jesus? You know, and it tends to be a challenge for a lot of Christians. Let me share with you a story, for example, of a carpenter who has a young apprentice. And he says to the young apprentice, "Listen, follow me, follow my lead. I'll teach you everything, everything about carpentry. Just do what I do and you do it, you know." And the young apprentice says, "Yeah, I'm very eager, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to learn to be like you. I want to follow everything you do. I want to do that." And so the carpenter starts to train this young apprentice, and he says, "Well, this is how you carve. You know, this is how you nail. This is how you saw. This is the kind of wood that you use." And he's growing and he's learning this knowledge and is excited that he has the opportunity to learn under such a great master, you know. But there came a time where he showed him how to carve a very delicate part of this creation. And as he's carving it, the master's saying, "No, you do it this way." But now he's getting a little bit mature and he's understanding how, you know, things work and how the grain of the wood is. He feels like as though that, "But what about if I do it this way?" And the master's saying, "Well, yes, but we do it this way, because this way is good, you know." "Yeah, but I, you know," and so he takes this shortcut and he carves this way, and the master's saying, "Carve this way." And then they go and select wood, and he actually likes this oak, and the other one likes, the master's saying, no, but this is, you know, better wood, this one. And so he ends up taking that piece. And anyway, the journey goes on, and they're creating, and they're working together, and he's molding it. And occasionally he says, well, you know what, I won't do what the master wants, I'll do it like this, because this looks better, this feels better, it's more comfortable. And the master's patiently trying to teach him, because that's his job. Like, that's, you know, he's not casting him out of the woodwork. He's hoping that one day that this person would eventually carve like a master. But they've got to learn to kind of deny themselves, you know, and just trust the master. Eventually, the creation is done. The woodwork project is complete. And the master, he's made this amazing bed. It's an extraordinary bed. Just carved like immaculately. It was just gorgeous. And an apprentice has made this abstract art creation. But it is extraordinary. It is amazing. And when people came to see the creation, and they looked at the bed, and they looked at this amazing abstract art, they all said, wow, look at that. They all bypassed the bed and they all admired this wonderful piece of creation that the apprentice did. But no one found rest in the bed. They all admired the aesthetics, the beauty, the splendor, but no one found rest in the bed. And so it is, the call to follow Jesus is chipped at, it's cut off, and no one finds rest. But it's beautiful to have a relaxing, peaceful life, doing it your way, not the way Jesus wants it, because it's restful, but no one finds rest. That's the sad thing. And we argue what's beautiful and great and fantastic and what's appealing, and we love it and we hold on to it, and that's our big challenge in life. But we didn't really listen to the master and do it the master's way. Because if we did, it became more than just what it looks like and what it feels like, but we could sleep and find rest. And so this is why sometimes now this is a challenge for me, to try to communicate to you without you trying to chip away. So if you could kind of just listen carefully to the scriptures and let the Spirit of God speak to you and not chip or cut, and just listen to the Spirit of God's voice and say, Lord God, just show me. I need rest. I need to just lay my life down and just listen to you. Just show me what your words meant. And if you find it hard to get through the jargon of theology or you know, language that you're probably not familiar with, then just watch carefully the pictures that are described to you in the Bible. Very simple stories that God, the creator, the poet, the author, the most creative writer, draws it for us beautifully in the lives of people in the scriptures. So I want to share with you, what does it mean to follow Jesus? And I'll take you all the way to the start, where the call starts to follow him. And what you'll find is Jesus on the shore of Galilee. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, verse 22. Matthew 4, 18, verse 22. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting net into the sea, for they were fishermen. It's what fishermen do. They fish. It's what we do. You know, we work. We've got to, you know, make money. You know, we've got to live. It's what we do. Nothing wrong with that. And this is what Jesus saw. He saw fishermen catching fish. No problem with that. And he said to them, and here's the call, follow me, and I will do something far more different than what you guys are already doing. I will make you a fisher of men. I will grant you the wisdom, the power, the strength to win the souls of people rather than just fish. Something with purpose, something with meaning, you know. I'll do that. Immediately, they must have heard the Spirit of God, you know, they must have heard the voice of heaven. Because immediately, and you often see this word immediately when it comes to the call of God, by the way. You'll see this word often. Immediately. They left their nets and followed him. There was no debate. There was no, other than the power of God, when someone is hungry and thirsty, someone is really, really hungry and thirsty, and you give them food, starve a person, don't give them water, and let them go like that for a long, long time, and then just give them food. They'll eat. And this is the call to follow him. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. Mending their nets is a beautiful description how we're always fixing things. Fishermen, they're always fixing. If their net is broken, they can't have life, you see. And that's what we do. We fix things all the time, but we never seem to find rest. Like we've got to go out again and catch fish again and then come back and fix our net. That doesn't end. That's life. That's the cycle. But when they hear the voice of Jesus, far more greater than our existing life, immediately they follow him. That's what it means to follow him. Now, it's not as simple as that, because basically you need to consider that this is a real story. It's not a fairy tale. It's not like just, you know, someone's just telling us something. This is actually a real event. It actually happened. What it meant for these disciples, future disciples, is that they had to give up their livelihood. They had to give up their job. They had to give up their security, the nets, the boats, you know. They had to leave it all. And that's the call to follow Jesus. That's the call to follow Jesus. There isn't really much to say. And if you don't get that story, well, then we'll look at another story in Matthew. In Luke chapter 5, verse 27 to 28. After this, he went out and he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. Not much to say. Have you ever wondered why the Bible doesn't talk about the families and the wives and of the disciples in detail or generally? Like, why doesn't it do that? Have you ever questioned, where are the wives and the families and the children of these disciples? Why don't we hear about them? Because there was a spirit that was moving in the life of Matthew and all the disciples that did not require the law or the letter or a passage of the scriptures or something like that so that you can now follow him. And so therefore, those who hear the call to follow him will follow him, and they don't need to worry or question any other thing other than, he called me to follow him. Because it's not you that chooses to follow him. Jesus told us, it's the Father that draws you to me. You know, when Jesus preached, they grumbled. The people grumbled. They couldn't understand what he was saying. They were confused what he was telling them to consume his body, eat my flesh, drink my blood. And they grumbled against, look, what is he saying? This is hard. This is hard to be heard. I can't be understood. And Jesus says, why do you grumble amongst yourselves? Don't you know that it's the Father who draws you to me? It's got nothing to do with your knowledge. It's got nothing to do with your ability to understand. It's the power of God that calls you and draws you to me. That's why these people were immediately following him. Does that make sense to you? But we chisel at it and we'll carve at it because, I don't know, because we think something that we create, our path to Jesus is a lot more easier, secure, and much more appreciated. But Matthew, when he had to leave the table with all that money, he was leaving his life. He was actually leaving his shame. He was leaving his guilt. He was leaving the accusations against him that basically he's a traitor. He's stealing money from his own people. He's greedy. He's covetousness. He was over it. Because he would have probably had a life that was full of guilt, full of shame, you know. Every day he has to, I'm caught in a trap, I have to provide. And if I pull back from this situation, I'm doomed. Poor Matthew. And while other men would have judged him and said, look at you, you traitor, you're meant to be a godly man, or you know, you're a Jew, you know, you should be in the synagogue, you should be... The man was trapped in a system that he himself, at the bottom of his heart, only God saw. God saw the system. And he saw how anyone that is encaged in this place, that flesh and the world and darkness, needs him. But no one saw that on the outward. But God did. Jesus did. And he knew when he called Matthew, Matthew's going to leave everything because Matthew is hungry. And so there's probably some of you this morning who are like that. Maybe you don't look like a Christian, you know. Maybe you don't look like you're a churchgoer. You know, but listen, God knows the cry of your heart and God knows how frail and weak you are. But what's important is if you hear his voice, don't keep holding on to your shame and your guilt and whatever it is that you hold on to for your livelihood. Leave everything and follow him. Trust him. Don't make excuses. I want this way or I want that way. Let me share something with you as someone who basically sees things. I find it always amazing. People come to me for advice or counsel over petty, shallow things. I don't want to offend, but I want to pinpoint something. But when it comes to what really matters, when it comes to the devil and God at fight against their soul, they don't come to me. Fascinates me. When it comes to decisions where the Holy Spirit is pricking them, prodding them, causing them to leave everything to follow him, they don't come to me to wrestle that out with them. They don't do that. Weird. Therefore, I conclude and I discern that the path that they're walking towards, because it's hidden and because it's secret and because they're pursuing to build this aesthetics, that's not the path Jesus called them to be on. Surely, you could have wrestled it out with me. Surely, we could have discussed it, sat down and just talked. How is it that the council is silenced, it's quietened, and then when you go out to help and chase and seek the lost, your mouth is cut, your arms are cut. There's nothing you can do to actually help. Because it's like how the devil puts you on a path that leads to destruction and you can't. He's making it impossible for you to turn. There's no U-turn on the devil's path unless the Father draws you to him. I just say that because sometimes I feel like I need to share real experiences. Like I feel like the only way maybe I get to know you and you get to know me is if I can be as raw as I can be with you. I don't share those things because I want you to know my life. I share those things so that you can connect with my life and so that you can sometimes feel like, hey, he's not all that different. Hey, he's actually like me. So it's simply, it's a call to leave all. Luke chapter 14, verse 33. So therefore, if any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. If you do not renounce, give up, let go of all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. There is no more ownership. There is no more self-interest. There is only Jesus. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, now, I want to touch on a few things of how everybody desires to follow Jesus, but there's always this kind of an obstacle for them. And sometimes it's actually the word of Jesus himself that is that stumbling block for them. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. It's not about a direction. It's about the position of your heart. You know, It's not where you're going. It's understanding that there is no place that we're going. It's understanding that there is no place of dwelling. The only place we have is the will of the Father, that whatever God wants. There is no program, there is no plan, there is no strategy, there is no anything other than the will of the Father. If the Father wants me to sleep on a rock for a pillow, then that's the will of God. So, wherever you go, I want a vision. You know, I want a vision. You know, we've got to fulfill a vision. No, God wants first your heart. You know, grounded and settled in Him. Then God will give you a vision. To another, He said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And this is a fascinating passage because people argue this all different manner and all different ways. But it's just simply he can't go because he's got to bury his dad. That's it. He's got to bury his dad. That's all I've got to do. Just let me bury my dad. And Jesus said, we're not even told the details of the circumstances. Nothing. It's just like... And people say, oh, Harb, you're so straight down the line. Like, you know, there's no grays with you. It's just black and white. Well, I don't know. I don't know. What is this then? Let me go bury my father. Jesus said, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Where is the gray here? And some people say, well, you know what? No, the reason why Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead, because he knew that this man was after his dad's inheritance. You'll do whatever you need to do to chip at it. You know what I mean? So I'll stay. Let me bury my dad because I'm not really after his inheritance. So Jesus is happy with me. He says, yes, you can. People don't understand. It's not the circumstance. It's not the situation. It's the desperation that when the Father calls, you run. That's what it is. You understand? It's the heart that lets go of absolutely everything because the voice of heaven calls. And if you heard that voice, you would drop it. You understand? Nothing wrong to bury my dad. Surely. Yeah, it is. Listen, it is. When God calls, whatever it is worthless. For the sake to follow Jesus. Oh, look, there's so many excuses, so many reasons. Yet another said, I could have spent 2 weeks on this. And I feel like I've got only 8 minutes left. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my house. So this guy. He's not even, you know, he's actually not having to plan a funeral for his dad. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not asking for a few days or a week. All he's saying is, wait here. I'll be back. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. We don't have time for this. We don't have time for you to say goodbye to your family. Because when the call comes, you leave everything. And when you leave everything, you leave everything. And when you don't leave everything, you're not fit. You're not fit. You're not fit for the kingdom of God. You don't have what it takes to follow through. I feel like I waste my time sometimes on Sunday morning, to be honest, because I'm not really telling you anything more than what the scripture's saying. Do you know what I mean? I'll give you another story. I'll tell you another story. There's a man, a young man, who loves the Word of God. He loves the Word of God. And he just wants to quote the Word of God all the time. You know, when he talks to people, he wants to quote the Word. And someone hears him and goes, wow, you know, that's so beautiful. Why don't you come and share Sunday morning? He goes, oh, really? Yeah, come, share. It's so beautiful. So the person comes Sunday morning really excited because he's going to share the Word of God because that's what he lives for. He opens up the Bible, goes to a passage like this in Luke chapter 9 about following Jesus, and all he does for an hour, and say what, an hour, he reads it. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And that's what he did for about an hour. He just read it. And he stops, he comes down, church is over. Half the crowd go, oh man, praise God. The other half crowd go, you could have added a bit more expression, man. A bit more tone. You know, like you could have at least, because the way you expressed it, wasn't, you didn't nail it. He goes, oh, all right. So he goes home. Practices the expression. You know, comes back to the pulpit and he starts to read it with enthusiasm, with zeal, with excitement. Like he starts to read it like with real gusto. And at the end, he's just reading it for an hour, just reading the passage. At the end, half go, oh man, praise God, hallelujah. That was so good. Never heard it like that before. And the other half go, is that all you're going to do, just read the Bible? Like, can't you explain it, expound it, like tell us something about it? Yeah, maybe I should. So he goes home. He starts reading what I'm going to share, you know, what I'm learning. He comes back again. He reads, and he, with gusto and energy, he reads one verse, and he stops, and he goes, and this means, da-da-da-da-da-da. And this means, da-da-da-da-da. And he does that for an hour. Now he's expounding, teaching, and he steps down. Half go, wow, praise God, where'd you, how? And the other half goes, you didn't explain it properly. It wasn't right. He goes, oh, okay. So he goes home and he goes again, reads. And this time he explains it properly. But the other half goes, no, that's not right. And so he's listening to this half and then this half. And he's going, oh, what do I do? And then someone says, why don't you just let the Spirit speak for itself? Let the Spirit of God speak. Stop being trying to take God's word and, you know, and explaining it. And so there came a Sunday morning where he came, poor guy, stands there, and he does this. That's what he does. And all he wanted was to read the Word of God. Just follow me. That's all he wanted. Just follow Jesus. Just follow Jesus. There's nothing complicated about these stories. They're so simple and so clean that they leave all the details out so that the Holy Spirit can speak. But there's always a reason. There's always something. And that's the excuses we use lest we find our road to heaven and be healed. Lest my people see with their eyes and hear with their ears and be healed. And so there's excuse after excuse, and you'll see them all in the scriptures. Luke chapter 14, verse 15 to 19. When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and he invited many people. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come, everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. But they all alike, they were all the same, but they had various excuses, different excuses. One of the excuses, the first said to him, "I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused." All these reasons. And these are pretty much the same reasons I think the church uses or Christians use when it comes to following Jesus. Now, of course, we don't have oxens. We don't have oxens. But we do have those things that we need to take care of. Those things we need to test, you know, and it stops us from following Jesus. Another said, "I have married a wife." There you go, that's something we can probably relate to. "And therefore, I cannot come. I got wife duties. I've got family things to sort out. I've got whatever, but I can't follow. I can't follow you." Then the master of the house became angry, and he said to the servant, "Go out quickly to the streets and to the lanes and of the city and bring in the poor, the needy, the hungry, the thirsty, the blind, the lame. Bring those who actually want me. Bring those who actually need me. Bring them and see if they'll come." And those who don't really need him and don't see the value or the desperation to hold on to him, "I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste my banquet." Now, you must leave everything to be complete. Do you know this? You have to. You must leave everything to be perfect. Do you know this? You know, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, he said, Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect," talking to the rich young ruler who had everything, who was very obedient to the law, but did not leave everything, was a good Christian, but did not leave everything. He says to him, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." If you will be perfect, what that means is, if you want to be completed, if you want to be complete, if the whole Christian teaching, law, doctrine, theology needs to be fulfilled in you and complete, go sell all you have. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "Be ye perfect like your heavenly Father in heaven is perfect." You need to be complete. You need to finish, done and dusted with this world, with all the carnalities and all the priorities of survival and human endurance to make most of this life. Done, finished. That's the call to follow Jesus. And Peter says to him in Mark chapter 10, verse 28, Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." How beautiful is this? He says, "See, look at me. I've left everything to follow you." Peter is showing, look. In Luke it says, "See, we have left our homes and followed you." A complete detachment from anything that will hold us to this earth. And how did Jesus respond to him? Beautifully. And this is the truth, brothers and sisters, if you dare to trust him. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, children, or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time and in the age to come eternal life." Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Do you believe this? That there is a great reward for those who have left everything to follow him. Now, as you have your heads bowed, I want to ask you, listen, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, as you have heard him in this passage, in these scriptures, in his words, then put down your arguments and your quarreling and your fighting against the Spirit of God and respond to him. If he is calling you to follow him, make a decision. Do you want to follow? And if you do want to follow, the Bible says this, confess that before him. Confess before him. And then leave it all in his hands. Leave everything and follow him. And if there's anyone in this room who's given their heart to Jesus Christ this morning, testify of your faith. Come and talk to me. Come and share that great news with me after this service. If there's anyone in this room who for the first time has heard the words of Jesus knocking at their heart, come and talk to me. I'd love to pray with you. And even if you didn't understand my message and you were confused by it, then come and talk to me. Ask me, what did you mean by this? What did you mean by that? If God is leading you and drawing you to his truths, then don't end it now after this service. Keep searching, seeking. Come and talk to me. Ask me. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord God, that as your word is spoken and moves in the hearts of every hearer, Lord, that you would keep us shielded and guarded by your goodness and your grace from the enemy, from the deceit, from the lies. Humble us before you, Lord God, and keep us dependent on you and desperate for you. Shield us with your kindness. Thank you for your patience and your long-suffering. Where there be a heart that is hard, I pray, Lord God, that you would soften it. Where there's brokenness, Lord God, that you would heal it, Lord. Where you would raise, Lord God, the feeble knees, Lord Jesus, the weak, and make them strong. Let them say, I am weak, but you are strong. We commit this word into your hand, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit may go and do according to your will. It will not come back empty, Lord. That it would prosper in the souls of the hearers. And make us more and more disciples of Jesus, we pray. Amen.